Well, this summer, I had the joy of spending some time with some of my grandchildren. We were staying in the same house on vacation together. And when I was with them, from time to time, if they were in another room, I would hear, you know, shouts of frustration, raised voices, perhaps crying and screaming sometimes. So like any good grandmother, I would go to the other room and try to figure out what was going on. And I usually found that the situation stemmed from a common childhood problem of not sharing or not being kind, something like that. And when I asked for an explanation, hey, what's going on here? Well, of course, they each had a side of the story to tell. And they would recount this sibling conflict with a very persuasive tone with me, you know. They were determined to each tell their side. So I would hear things like, well, she did this. No, but he did this first. No, I didn't. You know these things, right? I was listening for the truth, but it seemed as though some people were adding to the truth and some people were neglecting to tell the whole truth. So it was hard for me to know what really was the truth, but I suspected it was somewhere in the middle of all that I was hearing, right? Kids can be so funny. They adamantly declare their innocence and they sharpen their exaggerated accusations. You guys have probably all been around kids doing that. What about us? What about us? Sometimes we're a bit like kids in this way, right? What things do we tend to over-exaggerate or emphasize about ourselves? This is when you talk back to me, which we'll do a lot during the workshop, okay? What are some things that women tend to overemphasize or exaggerate about ourselves? Give me some ideas. Our weight, okay. For me, I'm going to put that one in the underemphasize, okay? But perhaps some of you overemphasize your weight for other reasons. Okay, what do you mean? Yeah, so clever. Yeah, that's so great. So we're proud of people we love, so we can tend to emphasize that. Anything else you think of? Yes? Oh, watch yourself now. You're hitting close to home. Anything else pop in your mind? You guys have great answers. Basically, our strengths. Anything good that we think that, anything we think we're good at, we're going to overemphasize. Okay, the flip side. What are we going to underemphasize besides our weight, which we already said? Our weaknesses, yes. Our sin, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to make those things big. We want them to be small and kind of forgotten. Well, these tendencies that we see in ourselves in these areas that we've mentioned, they can also show up in our approach to the scriptures. And so that's what we're going to address in this first instruction of the workshop, and it's called Staying on the Line. Staying on the Line. And this first instruction is kind of unique, when you compare it to the others that you'll hear, because it is a conviction. And it's one that I want to persuade you is very important as you begin to approach the scriptures, whether you're going to teach others or even as you sit alone with the Lord and open his word each day and ask him to speak to you. So it's more of a conviction than a set of strategies. And the principle associated with the instruction is this, and I'll write it up here for you. We must stay on the line of Scripture. We must stay on the line of Scripture. Oh. Never adding to it or taking away from it. We want the truth of Scripture to shine through. We don't want to add to it and say things that aren't there, and we don't want to take away from what it is actually saying. And if this is your first time, you'll begin to pick up on the fact that there's often a drawing that goes with each instruction. So the drawing that goes with this one looks like this. That's the line, a plus and a minus. Pretty easy, huh? So the line is meant to represent scripture. The plus is meant to remind us that we don't want to go above it and add to it, exaggerate and say more than it actually says. And the subtracting, we don't want to downplay or ignore what it actually says. What would be the danger of exaggerating and adding to scripture, saying more than it actually says? Where might that lead us? Any ideas? Right, false teaching. That's great, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Competing with God's authority. Yes? Great, yeah. So that could be like we become very rules-based, right? And that's like a legalism or a moralism. We're adding rules that maybe are not there at all. That's great. What about on the subtracting side? What's the danger when we don't communicate all that's there and we take that away? Yes. Okay. I like that you use the word false again. Yeah, great. False assurance. We're promising things that maybe God doesn't say at all. Any other comments about that? Who's speaking? Yes, okay. Downplaying the realities of hell? Good. Yeah. It's not always easy to talk about that, is it? Yeah. Yes. We're taking away from his power and his glory and his... Yeah, great. Excellent. What's the danger there? Where is that road going to lead us? Wonderful, yeah. Could you all hear? She said, we know God on our own terms, not as he's actually revealed himself. Yeah, good. So the danger is eventually we're going to become quite liberal in our approach to the scriptures because we're not sticking with what God actually says. And we're kind of treating it in ways that are convenient for us, right? So we must stay on the line of scripture, never adding to it or taking away from it. And you know, the scriptures actually have quite a lot to say about this conviction. I'm going to get you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I wonder if one of you would stand and read aloud verses 9 through 11. Just three verses. Sure, great. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. How are the people described in verse 9? Tell me some words that you see there. Rebellious, great. Okay. A little bit louder. Unwilling to hear. Good. Where do you see that? Okay, great. Children. So immature. Okay, and what is it that the people want the prophets not to do? Look for in verses 10 and 11. What is it that they're asking the prophets not to do? Okay, don't see or prophesy. Okay, that's... So right now we're just looking at what they're saying not to do. So keep that thought for a second. Anything else stand out to you in verses 10 and 11? Leave the way. Yeah, good. Leave the way in verse 11. I think I'm going to save that one for the to-do side. Yeah, good, good, good. Okay, so they're saying, don't see, don't prophesy to us what is right. Okay, I'm going to save that one for the next section as well. Good. Okay, I'm going to save that one. So we're looking for what they're not supposed to do. I notice at the end of verse 11, what's there at the in the last part of verse 11? What, again? Yeah, let us hear no more. We don't want to hear. Okay, good, good, good. Let us hear no more. Okay, now all of you with your good answers on what they do want them to do. So that was our don't side. And this is our do side. What are some things you notice that they're asking? Well, before we go there, let me ask you one question. For the things they're saying, do not do this, is that adding to or taking away from the line of Scripture? Taking away, yeah. Taking away, good. They're taking away God's commands. They're saying, don't even tell us. Okay, and then on the flip side, what do they want them to do instead? Tell me some things you see there in the text. Pleasant things. Some translations might say smooth things, which I think is really interesting. Do tell us. Okay, what else do you see? Illusions. Okay. What's an illusion? Good. It looks nice and real, but it's not real. That's very good. Okay. It's actually fake. So they're asking for lies instead of the truth. Anything else stand out to you on what they want them to do instead? Those were the big ones I got. Again? Turn aside. Okay, good. Yeah, we did mention that before. Turn aside. Leave the path, is that the exact wording? Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Turn aside from path. Okay, what about in this section? Is this adding to God's word or taking away from it? A little bit louder? Adding. Yeah, so they're adding things that the Lord has not said. All right. Someone else, please stand and read aloud verses 12 through 14 that follow what we just read. Who'd be willing to do that? All right, thank you. Verses 12 through 14 of Isaiah 30. Thank you. Thank you so much. What does God say the consequences will be for the people who want the prophets to add and take away from his word? What will be the consequences? How would you describe what was there in verse 12 through 14? They're broken? Yeah, it uses destructive words like breaking. What other destruction kind of words does he use there? A breach in a high wall, so it's a picture of like a guard wall collapsing. Any others? Smash, yeah. Even uses the word fragments, yes. So a fragment, as it's described here in verses 12 through 14, it's just useless. Like it says, you can't even dip water out of the cistern with it. And he calls it sin, right? He uses the word iniquity in verse 13. This iniquity shall be to you. And so as we look to apply this conviction to our Bible teaching, we must recognize that this really is a matter of obedience for us. So we must not add to or take away from the line of Scripture. Okay, let's make our application a little bit more personal. How are you, as a Bible teacher, tempted to add to or take away from the Scriptures? And we'll start with the add to side, okay? Think about yourself for a minute. Think about your tendencies. What might be some ways that you're tempted to add to what's written in the Scripture as you present it to whomever the Lord has asked you to teach? What are some things? I'll kick us off. My opinion, that could be my political views. That's one to get us going. Somebody else. Yes. Ah, that's so great. So perhaps you're addressing a particular need you know of in that person's life, and you want to make it appealing. I like that word that you used. So you might, what might you add in that case? Okay, that's great. So perhaps a more positive twist. Great. Increase emphasis. I'm sorry, my handwriting's so terrible, guys. On place does not emphasize. Okay. Other ideas? Yes, that becomes like your lens, right? Excellent. Okay, that's a lot like the appealing, isn't it? Yeah, that's so good. Well done. Yes. Yeah, that's so good. Right, but it's still addressing, putting maybe the emphasis, like Hannah said, the emphasis where maybe the Lord has not put the emphasis for that particular passage. Great. Some others I think of are our traditions and cultures. That's a big one where I live, where so many different cultures are represented. And as I learn about cultural expectations, and sometimes they're tied to a passage in the Bible, and I'm like, really? Like, it's not always, it doesn't always make sense to me, but it's so, such a big part of their culture and their tradition that it's hard to separate that out. I mentioned this earlier, but we could add moral requirements that the Bible does not talk about. You know, we might be studying a passage and say, so therefore you must not smoke. Maybe you shouldn't smoke, but it's probably not what that passage says, you know, or things like that. We burden people with requirements and rules that perhaps are not in the Scripture at all. And the big one that we really want to be careful of is when we think about how we communicate the message of salvation to people, right? What would you think of in relation to that? What might be a danger for us as we add? What do you think? Works. So the cross plus all these other things you need to do equals salvation. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. So that's a huge danger for us. I'm going to give that one a little star here. Cross plus works We really have to check our hearts about these things because they can kind of sneak in. Okay, let's move on and consider what we might be inclined to add in prophetic literature. So you've kind of had your head in the book of Habakkuk, which I really thought hard about trying to change how I say that for this weekend, but I just don't think I can, guys, so bear with me. You've had your mind in the scriptures. You've been reading it. Do you find yourself tempted to add anything to the message of the prophets? What are the prophets usually speaking about? Judgment. Yeah, they often have a warning of God's judgment. What might you be inclined to add to that message? Yes. Yes, so more mercy, less judgment. Good, good, good. Yeah, we might also sometimes be tempted to put more emphasis on the prophet's feelings than the scriptures really want us to. So, you know, maybe you might feel that in the book of Jonah. You know, you overly sympathize with the prophet's feelings and you miss the point of the passage. Okay, let's move on to, that was our adding side. Let's go on to our subtracting side. As you think about your teaching, what are you tempted to take away from when you're presenting the scriptures to someone? What have you seen yourself inclined to subtract? Yeah. So let's see, how can we make that concise? To subtract convicting passages or to downplay them somehow? Yeah. So this is our subtract sign. Downplay confrontational. That's a better word. Someone else, tell me something that you tend to dodge or avoid or subtract from what God's word actually says. Yes. Okay. So you might avoid passages about confessing sin to one another. That's kind of awkward. But yet, the scriptures say, confess your sins one to another. You might want to avoid difficult topics in general. So what are some difficult topics in the Bible you might want to avoid? Okay, controversial theology. Yeah, good. So that's a D. Avoid difficult topics. Sometimes, quite frankly, we may want to just avoid difficult passages altogether. We may want to avoid talking about tithing. We mentioned some doctrines, the doctrine of election, maybe the Trinity. We might want to avoid those. We've kind of danced around this one, the idea of taking scripture out of context to soften it. Another one, have you ever had this experience where you're listening to a teacher and the first thing they say when they get up is, now, I just want to apologize to you about this text that we're going to study today because it's really difficult. We don't want to apologize for the Word of God. So don't do that. Don't apologize for your text. What about when you're sharing the gospel with someone from the scriptures? What might you want to subtract in that message? What's easy to kind of leave out? Our sinfulness, okay. Our need for a Savior, someone said hell. Our destiny apart from Christ. Yes. Yes, the cost of following Jesus. So easy to just leave that out altogether, isn't it? But it's so important. Okay, let me catch up here. Cost of following Christ. We apologize. All right, what about with prophetic literature in particular? How do we feel tempted to subtract? Yes. Okay, so we might just avoid it. Yeah, and that's easy to do with prophetic literature because we're like, what is happening here? Good, good, good. So we might avoid it altogether. Another idea. Remember what we said that the prophets were often doing? What message were they bringing? All right, so how might you be inclined to subtract from that? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Yes. Yes, that's so good. So, yeah, so minimize the judgment of sin, soften the blow, like you said, gravitate only maybe to the hopeful prophecies of a Messiah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So much for us to learn in that, isn't there? Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So let's look at another scripture together. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 23. Do any of you use little songs in your head to find your way through the Old Testament? I just want you to know I do, okay? So if you hear me up here humming, I'm just like humming my way through the prophets. I'll teach you the song later if you need to know it. Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to look at verses 16 through 32. And for this part, I'm going to have you turn to someone beside you and read these verses together. I recognize it's kind of a long chunk, but I want you to answer one question with your partner as you read these verses together. By what two voices are the people being confronted? Okay? So if you can just pair up in twos or threes, read the passage and take a minute or two to answer that question. By what two voices? It's Jeremiah. I'll write it up here for you. Jeremiah 23, 16 through 32. When you're ready, if you can just kind of look up, I'll know that you're done. All right. Do you feel like we can, you're in a place to answer the question? All right. So what did you notice? What are the two voices that the people are being confronted with? Were you saying something? No. Okay. Pardon? God. Okay. God through... Okay, great. And who else? Great. All right. All right, look in particular at verses 16 and 17, and tell me, what characterizes the words of the false prophets? What do you notice in those two verses? You can just call these out as you... Vain hopes. Did someone say that? Yeah, vain hopes. They're speaking from their own minds, their own hearts. Very good. And not from the mouth of the Lord. Very good. Anything in 17 that you notice? Yeah, that's part of that false hope, right? They're telling lies, right? And they're denying the coming judgment of the Lord. All right, turn back to the person beside you and answer this question. In the preaching of these false prophets, are they going above the line or below the line? Are they adding to the Lord's words or taking away from them? Discuss that together for a little bit, and then we'll come back. And all right, let's come back together. What do you think? Raise your hand if you think they're adding and going above the line. Hi, raise your hand high, hi. Okay, all right. And what about subtracting and going below the line? You guys are so smart. You're so smart. All right, let's talk about adding. Let's talk about adding. Where do you see them adding and going above the line of Scripture? They're speaking of their own mind, yeah. They're adding their own opinion, their own thoughts. These did not come from the Lord. Great. So in that sense, they're going above. They're adding. They add what they think. Okay, what about going below, subtracting? Yeah, no disaster will come. Isn't that crazy? No disaster will come. They omit judgment. So they're going below the line and they're subtracting when they don't say what God says. So in contrast, what are the Lord's true prophets called to do? Real quick, again in your pairs, look at verses 18 through 28 and just highlight, what are the Lord's true prophets called to do? Yes, what are the true prophets, the faithful prophets, called to do as described in verses 18 through 28. Okay, come back together with me here and tell me what you saw and what verse you saw it in. What are the true prophets called to do? Someone raise your hand. Yes, okay. Okay, so you picked that out as a contrast, yeah. That they need to stand in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word. Yeah. Pay attention, good. What verse was that? Also 18, good. Pay attention to the word of the Lord and listen. What else did you see? Okay, verse 22, proclaim his word to his people. Good. And what was the outcome to be of that? So that they'll repent and obey the Lord. Good. Anything else you noticed? What about verse 28? They must proclaim the word faithfully. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. That's a word to us too, ladies. We must speak the word of the Lord faithfully. Look at verse 32. What is the consequences for the hearers of those false teachers who have left the line of Scripture? What would the consequences be for the hearers in verse 32? If they listen to this false teaching, they'll be led astray. Good. That's in verse 32. Yep. God is against them. Excellent. Did you see that? How many times do you see that repeated? Just look at verse 32 alone. Oh, sorry, 30 through 32. How many times? Three times. The Lord says he is against them. His anger and destruction is upon them. The Lord charges those who have his word to speak his word faithfully. So, for us, ladies, as Bible teachers, the consequences for us, if we don't stay on the line of Scripture, are also quite serious. We don't want the Lord to be against us. We want to be faithful. His word is powerful, and if we go off the line of Scripture, we're wandering from what's effective to bring transformation in the lives of the people who are listening. So adding to and subtracting from God's word is very serious in God's eyes. Any questions that you have so far? Yeah, that is a great question, and you're exactly right in what you said, that we'll really tease that out more in that instruction about connecting to the gospel. But I love how you're kind of checking yourself and you're thinking, I want it to be legitimate and I want it to really be there. How can I get there? Stay tuned. More will come for that. I know that's a terrible answer, but... Any other questions so far about adding to or subtracting? I want to talk through some ways we can kind of check ourselves on this. How can we stay on the line of Scripture? Some things that we could do to guard against veering off of the line of Scripture. Any ideas off the top of your head? What would you want to do as you open your Bible to prepare to teach? Pray. Yes. And you know, a lot of times as we go through the workshop, that's like a first answer that we throw out. And it's true, and it's right, and it's easy to not do it. So don't forget to pray and ask the Lord to be your guide. He'll be so faithful to lead and guide us. Sometimes it's easy to think about praying, but to not really pray. So do pray. Ask for God's help to be alert to particular tendencies in yourself. You know, like, Lord, you know I don't like talking about hard things, and yet this passage is full of hard things. Would you help me to see your word accurately as you want it to be presented? What's another way you could guard against going off the line of Scripture? Yeah. Yeah, great. That is excellent. So that would be kind of spending less time really observing and, you know, doing the work of structure and all these things that we did, and instead saying, well, here's what I think it means. Yeah, that's a great danger. Good. So don't jump to application. What's something else? Yes. I love that. Yes, that's so good. And it's quite humbling, isn't it, to just say, here's my work. Correct where I've gone astray here. But what a gift to have friends like that in your life. And if you don't have another woman, you could always bring it to your pastors or elders and say, would you check what I've done here and see. Keep going. You guys have really good ideas. A few more. Yes. Oh, boy. Yes, that is so true. And you'll be like, I've read this a million times. I never saw that before. Yeah, that's so good. And the Lord has new things to teach us. It's so fun to study the Bible because of that very reason, just that he keeps opening our eyes. A few other things I thought of. See if your passage is in keeping with the rest of Scripture. Are you kind of straying off into something that doesn't match with the rest of Scripture? Consider your audience and consider how someone who is more legalistic might approach that particular text, and consider how someone who's more liberal might approach that text. And those could kind of serve as guardrails for you. Another strategy would be to use the principles that we're learning in this workshop. And this lady over here started to point us in that direction when she said we don't immediately go to application. So use the principles. That's what the rest of the workshop is all about, is teaching you how to use these principles so that you're guarded against straying off the line. I'm going to show you what that looks like in a drawing. You know there's going to be another drawing, right? This drawing, let's see here. I love how the iPad helps me get my line straight. Look at that. Oh, that's a big correction. There we go. All right. So this is a pathway. And let's say someone gives you a text and they say, we want you to do the teaching at our ladies' conference. And here's your text, and here's your ladies over here, us today. And you're thinking, how can I faithfully bring this text to these women? Well, if you follow this pathway, you'll be helped. So the way this works is that you're going to notice as I go through, you're going to be like, ah, that looks like my worksheet I did. And it is. The secret's out. It is your worksheet. So we're going to take the text and we're going to do some word work. I hope I don't erase things over here. So we'll put exegesis, word work. And some of the first, well, over here, I'll put a little, I'll put a little star and put staying on the line. That's a conviction that we want to have before we come to the text. I hope I've convinced you of that in this session. And then as we do our word work, we're going to look at structure. And we're going to look at context. Are these words sounding familiar? We're really digging into the text to try to understand what's there. And what we're hoping to understand is what was the author's intent for the first audience? Oops, hold on. Then. What was his main point that he wanted to argue for his first audience? That's number three on your worksheet, right? This is number one, this is number two, and this is number three. So we're trying to understand that first. And then we do some theological reflection up here. And we know that we live on this side of the cross of Christ. And so we want to consider, how does the passage connect to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's your number four. Eventually, we're going to bring it down. So I'm going to draw little arrows here for you so you know we're traveling around this pathway. We're going to bring it down to us today. And we're going to have number 5, 6, and 7, as you prepare your talk. So we're going to consider, what's our main point in light of the cross of Christ? We're going to make the author's original main point travel through the gospel of Jesus, and we're going to bring that down to our people today. We want our teaching to have the hope of the gospel in it. So, let me think what else I want to add here. We know that Jesus says the Bible is all about him. And so that's why it's so important for us to make sure that we include a legitimate connection to the death and resurrection of Christ. We'll learn more about that as the workshop goes on. The right side is the persuasion work. This is called the pathway for preparation. And you can see, it's your worksheet in a nutshell, right? There are a few things that this pathway can help us be alert to as a danger. What if you took your text and you were like, you know, I don't really have a lot of time. I'm just going to go straight across here. It's tempting sometimes, right? If you don't have a lot of time, would you be adding to or subtracting from the scriptures if you did that? You'd be subtracting, yeah, and it would become very contextual for us, but the Bible is not primarily about us. So keep that in your mind. What about if you're like, okay, I have some time, but I don't have a ton of time, so I'm just going to go this way. What's the danger there? A little bit louder? You leave out the gospel, and so what do you leave your audience with? A bunch of rules, maybe. Yeah, good. Try to live right, you know, or something like that. So we have a great danger there of moralism. And is that adding or subtracting from the line of Scripture? If we put rules, I almost gave the answer away. If we put rules there, okay, it's both, right? We're subtracting the good news of the gospel, and we're adding a bunch of moral things that no one can bear. So that's the pathway of preparation. You're going to see us come back to it. We're going to try to help you know, like, where are we now in the workshop on this pathway? But we pray that as you grow in understanding each of these steps, that you're going to grow in being a faithful Bible teacher who stays on the line of Scripture. Any questions from you guys about this conviction of staying on the line of Scripture? We must stay on the line of Scripture, never adding to it or subtracting from it.